Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to the 404 Media Podcast. I am Jason Kepler. We have Joseph Cox on vacation this week, so I'm going to do my best Joseph impression. I'm here with Sam Cole.
Hello.
And Emmanuel.
Hey, hey.
404 Media is a journalist-owned publication. You can check us out at 404media.co. If you are a paid subscriber, you'll get a bonus section at the end of this podcast that will be delivered via a private RSS feed. So you can check us out at 404media.co. So, Sam, you just broke a big, big story.
Yeah.
Tumblr and WordPress to sell users' data to train AI tools. This is something that was sort of like rumored on Tumblr for a while, but you went and got the story. So what's going on?
Yeah. So yeah, it's been like a rumor going around for a bit that we were trying to track down last week, but weren't quite able to get a hold of confirmation. And the rumor was that Tumblr and WordPress, via their parent company Automattic, were making this deal with OpenAI and Midjourney to basically sell user data to those companies to train their AI models. So yeah, it was something people were worried about. People were posting about it publicly, being like, is it happening? Is it not happening? And then early this morning, we had someone reach out who said that they were a staffer at Tumblr. They were internal to some capacity, and that they had information for us in internal conversations about this process that Tumblr and WordPress were undergoing to compile a bunch of user data and hand it over to Midjourney and OpenAI, which is obviously something that's happening more and more often, but it's still a big deal. I think people who use Tumblr and WordPress especially are very, worried about the way that their data is going to be used. So the fact that this is kind of happening behind the scenes is definitely concerning, to say the least.
Yeah, I think that, you know, there's obviously a huge fanfic community on Tumblr. There's a huge artist community on Tumblr. And so this has been a fear of that community for a long time.
Yeah. Now, Tumblr famously very, very horny. So, you know, God knows what these models are going to end up being like. But yeah, it's an invasion of people's trust and privacy to, in my opinion, to take their data without their consent and feed it into these third-party AI companies.
Yeah, I think one of the most interesting parts of this story, besides the fact that you were able to confirm that this is imminent, sort of like the internal stuff you got showed them preparing to send this stuff to OpenAI and Midjourney. There was a lot of debate about sort of opt-out, opt-in, and whether people could opt out after the data had already been sent and scraped, like would it be retroactively deleted. Like, we don't know. And automatic also seems like it doesn't know. But there's this, like, there's a message from a pretty senior Tumblr employee that was an internal message to staff about how they went, like, the Tumblr staff went and compiled a list of all of Tumblr's public post content between 2014 and 2023. And then the post says, quote, "Unfortunately, it included and should not have included private posts on public blogs, posts on deleted or suspended blogs, unanswered asks, which are normally not public until they're answered, private answers, those don't show up to the receiver and are not public, posts that are marked explicit / NSFW / mature by our more modern standards. This may be a big deal. I don't know. And content from premium partner blogs." And the example they gave was special brand blogs like Apple's former music blog, for example, which Tumblr and Automatic may not have the rights to. And then there was basically like the sentiment that they were trying to figure out which things were scraped that should not have been scraped. And it was pretty unclear from the message whether this data had already been sent to OpenAI and Midjourney. And that's sort of like we've been trying to talk to Automatic since last week.
Yeah.
They have not responded to us. But there's like some concern that not only has Tumblr, like, is Tumblr going to sell this data, but that it may have already sent things to these companies. Like, we don't know, but it seems like their initial sort of effort at this was very messy.
Yeah. Yeah. It just seems like a mess internally. It seems rushed. Like, that's kind of the impression that I got from reading the screenshots and the messages. It just kind of is like, you know, this is happening very fast, at least from what I can tell. And people are kind of like staff is like, what's going on? What's happening? You know, they were trying to answer questions from staff about concerns about, like, what you said with, like, the retroactive deleting and, like, the opt-in, opt-out stuff. And no one was, like, totally sure about any of this. It was a lot of, like, I believe type statements and not, like, definitely we can guarantee that this is the way it's going to work. And it's supposed to come out this week. That's kind of the timeline that they're working on. I don't know if that's the case anymore, considering we broke this story. And I think this is a story that a lot of people are on top of. But yeah, it was something that they were aiming for this week.
Yeah, there was like a very basic question from a staffer that I sort of referred to, but it's basically like, do we have assurances that if a user opts out of their data being shared with third parties, that our existing data partners will be notified of such a change and remove their data? And then Andrew Spittle, who is Automatic's head of AI, is like, we think that's what will happen. Like, and this is like that their head of AI is responding to a staff question, basically being like, yeah, we will we'll ask that, but you know, we're not positive.
And staff is like, I mean, they seem, I don't know, I'm sure they're frustrated. And like this also in context for this is like the last few days for staff internally, I think has been bizarre and frustrating because their CEO, Matt, who is the Matt in Automatic. Like, that's why there's two T's, because it's Matt. He went on like a rant, you know, a crazy public tirade about moderation and about a specific user that was banned for sending like a very cartoonish death threat to him. So he's melting down in public, and now this is happening. This is getting rushed through. They're all kind of like, can someone explain what the fuck is going on at this company? I'm sure it's very chaotic and stressful right now. If you're a Tumblr employee and listening to this, please get in touch and tell me what it's like working there right now.
Yeah. The sort of the Matt drama, I don't think we're going to get too far into
it. Yeah, it's kind of beside the point, but...
It's beside the point, but I mean, it's good that you bring it up because there's like an open letter from LGBTQ staffers at Tumblr. That was like an open letter posted on their staff page. It's like there's been a lot of... And I don't know, supposedly he was sort of like Matt was on vacation or sabbatical or something, and he's basically just like popping off on Twitter. It's like, it's pretty messy. Like it's a very messy situation right now for Tumblr. And we're not shying away from this. It's that you've been trying to report what happened there.
Mm-hmm. And they weren't responsive to that either. Yeah. Right. They're just like, you know, they're not answering anything that we're asking them right now, which is frustrating and probably, you know, not the move that I would take, but you know, I'm not a comms person in a giant social media company, so who could say?
Yeah. I guess two more things on this. It's like WordPress is part of this deal in some way. WordPress being the massive blogging platform, and it would stand to reason that this would include like WordPress.com, which is a hosted solution that is sort of like an all-in-one. We run your website, you know, it's customizable. You can have themes and stuff like that, but you're like paying WordPress to use WordPress. And then separately, there's like an open source roll your own version of WordPress that you like use the software and you spin up your own website elsewhere. We don't use WordPress, so I'm not an expert on WordPress and how it works. But from the documentation that we saw, we're like not sure exactly the contours of what is going to be shared from WordPress. I have to imagine that it's probably WordPress.com, the hosted solution. But that's like, you know, we didn't go into detail on that, but we know that WordPress data is part of the sale, like WordPress broadly. So that's, if you know more about that, we would love to know more. We're continuing to chase this story. It's breaking. I think we felt comfortable going with it because we know for sure that Tumblr data is involved. And this is something that the community has been worried about for quite some time and talking about. And, you know, I think that there's kind of like a reticence from the Tumblr community to like use AI art. Like on Tumblr, like people do it, but I think that there's like a distaste for AI art already. And now, yeah, similar to Reddit, which Emmanuel, maybe you want to talk a little bit more about like what happened with Reddit recently, but it's like we're seeing these platforms that are really important to the internet, like Reddit and Tumblr, that have had trouble making money, perhaps seeing like, hey, we can solve our problem by just selling all the user data to OpenAI and Google and Midjourney, et cetera. But what happened with Reddit, Emmanuel?
So last week we reported that, and this has been rumored for a bit, but Reddit has, I think it's $60 million a year deal with Google to provide essentially what people post to Reddit as training data for Google's AI products. This is very similar to other deals that these other AI companies have. The other example we give in the story is Shutterstock has a deal similarly to provide its content to train OpenAI products, which I find to be a little spooky because Shutterstock has out of stock video and OpenAI just revealed this Sora AI video product that you have to assume. We don't know for a fact because OpenAI is very secretive about the exact training data that it's using, but I would assume that it's using some of that stock footage. And I guess I wanted to ask you too, if you think that this is going to change how people interact with the internet, because I mean, all these stories in a row just, I think, fundamentally change what happens when you post something online. Tumblr has been around since what, 2007, and is sort of a notorious place where people post wildly, right? Like every social media platform has its own vibe. And I would say that Tumblr is kind of intimate. And now all that content is being fed into AI products. And I think now you have to assume that anything you post online will be fed into some kind of AI product. And this was already happening, right? Like, we have these data sets that scrape the entire internet for images, but now companies are explicitly monetizing their user base, and it's doing it retroactively. Like, none of this was a point of concern in 2007 when people were posting. And now all that content, we assume, is being fed to Midjourney. So is there like going to be a new generation of kids who are posting differently because they don't want to be scraped like that? Or are you going to change how you guys post? Or what do you think about just fundamentally every piece of content that you're posting to a platform being monetized by that platform via AI products?
Sam, I feel you know more about the culture, the posters culture.
The posters culture. I mean, as far as like people who are experiencing it now, like as it's unfolding, maybe people will leave Tumblr. Like, I can see like Tumblr especially, and we're focusing on Tumblr just because that's what we know. But Tumblr is very like creator positive as a culture. Like, it's very pro people making money off their own art. You know, there's lots of commissions that happen through Tumblr. Lots of like fan art, fanfic, stuff like that. So, yeah, I can see people just being like, fuck Tumblr, because it's happened in the past. Like, when Tumblr pulled all explicit content and said no more porn, people were like, well, goodbye forever. You know, like, people are used to Tumblr staff being like annoying and mildly villainous, but like, it's to this degree, I think maybe this could be the last straw for some people. I think as far as like future generations, future posters, I would like to say that people like will become more conscious of what they are posting and think about where it'll end up. But one, I don't think that responsibility should necessarily be on people who are using these platforms. And also, I can just see whatever Gen Alpha, whatever the next generation is going to be, just saying, you know, we're going to post harder than ever. I don't think, maybe they just don't care anymore. Maybe they just will have this like nihilistic view of where the stuff goes and where it ends up, because it was never different. Like, it was never any other way for them. So why would you change the way you're behaving? You know, it would be like us, like, you know, going back to having phones that don't connect to the internet or something, as like millennials. So I don't know. I feel like that's kind of what I couldn't see coming, but I'm also not friends with any Gen Alphas. Thank God.
I want to talk about like what this suggests about OpenAI and Midjourney, which is like, first of all, with Reddit, probably OpenAI was already scraping Reddit, like probably, because we don't know exactly what was in OpenAI's training data. But one of the big reasons, like a big gigantic fight about Reddit, was when Reddit started charging for API access. And it used to have a free API where people could scrape it, and people did scrape it all the time. And this allowed for all sorts of good things like third-party apps, many of which are much better than Reddit's official app. And it allowed for all this like academic research and so on and so forth. But what happened was, people were like making these giant Reddit data sets, and then either directly or indirectly, that was making its way into LLM training data. Like, that was happening for years. And then Reddit starts charging for it. And we learned, as Emmanuel mentioned, that Google is going to scrape Reddit data at a fee. But we also know that OpenAI and Midjourney to date, like, haven't really given a fuck about copyright and things like this. It's like, we know that they're trained on huge sums of copyrighted information, copyrighted images, copyrighted posts, etc. And to some extent, like, I can't speak for Tumblr. I haven't gone deep on, you know, whether Tumblr has been blocking the scraping of Tumblr throughout its entire history and its three different owners and so on and so forth. But like, I don't know that this stuff is not already in there to some extent. It's hard to say. So I'll say that. And then the second thing is, we are hitting a point. Like, I remember this website that was like, you have reached the end of the internet. Do you remember this? It was just like, oh, you're at the end of the internet. Like, I forget what the website was. I think it might have just been www.com. That may have been the start of the internet. But in any case, it's just like this joke. There was this joke that you're like, you have reached the end of the internet. There's no more websites. And what we're hitting with these LLMs is like, they've scraped the sum total knowledge of humanity, or they're like approaching that. It's like they've got such a gigantic corpus of data and they're looking for more data, and like they're scraping. I'm not going to say Tumblr is the bottom of the barrel, but I'm saying like they are like, like the differentiation between OpenAI and Google and, you know, these other LLMs is going to be like, oh, well, I bought Tumblr data, you bought Reddit data. Like, we're going to compete on that. And somehow our chatbot is going to be slightly better than your chatbot because we spent X million amount of dollars to scrape Tumblr fanfic or whatever. And, you know, this is not just me just rambling and saying this, but like Hani Farid, who is one of the best AI researchers, academics out there, has put out a paper that basically says like AI is going to start recursively feeding on itself. Like, it's going to train on AI generated content, and it's not a given that like ChatGPT is going to get better using the same systems that we have now. It's entirely possible that ChatGPT is going to run out of stuff to consume, and it's just going to start consuming like more and more stuff that was already generated with other AI, and it's going to get worse and degrade over time. And I don't know. I think that these deals, they sort of suggest that, yes, like OpenAI is kind of like growing up and starting to pay for data, but it also suggests that they're like out of stuff to scrape. Do you think that there's anything to that or no?
Yes. And you said this at the very end, but I think it's probably also reactive, where maybe there's a world where OpenAI thinks it can get away with scraping the entire internet and not telling people exactly what it's doing and just putting out products based on that. But it appears to be so disruptive, or people think it will be so disruptive, that there are several lawsuits brewing, right? It's like there's the OpenAI New York Times lawsuit. There's one from authors. I assume there will be more coming. And maybe part of the reason we're seeing a lot of these deals happen now is they're preparing for a world where there is like a major decision and somebody decides that what they did was illegal and they have to like completely redo their training from scratch because it's copyrighted material or whatever. And then what is the solution? It's like, you're not going to go author by author and offer to buy the rights to their book. You're going to look for these bigger pools of data like Reddit, like Shutterstock. Probably they're going to hit up like book publishers, newspapers. I think basically at the end of the day, they're going to have to legitimately get this data, and this is how you do it. But just because Reddit makes a bunch of money doing it doesn't mean that it's cool or okay with millions of users who have used the site and never thought this would be a possibility.
Yeah. I think it could also be like a precursor, protect ourselves from lawsuits. It's like, well, Tumblr is probably, Automattic is probably not going to sue its business partner. And that's happened with the New York Times, where it's like OpenAI has said, you know, New York Times is suing OpenAI, but OpenAI is like, well, we're engaged in like a business negotiation with the New York Times to use their data. And it's like, presumably if they reached some sort of agreement, that lawsuit is not going to move forward. And so it could be like a, we don't want to get sued vibes. So we're going to like buy the stuff that we've already trained our LLMs on.
Yeah. I also wonder like with the Reddit thing, like, I mean, the things that they're targeting are interesting, right? So it's like Reddit, Tumblr, WordPress to a degree. These are places where people talk very naturally, and kind of the white whale for AI for a really long time was natural language. And it was, you know, years and years and years where it was like, we can't get it to speak like a human. People immediately can tell it's not a person because it doesn't sound like a person. And now AI is really kind of indistinguishable when it's writing from a person typing in a lot of ways, a good one anyway. So I wonder, and you know, when you're searching for something on Google, you're typing Reddit at the end to get a natural person's response, like a real person's response. So they're training it on these conversational platforms to begin with. It's like a book maybe won't give you the same level. It's too edited. It won't give you the same naturalness that a personal conversation on Reddit or on, especially on Tumblr, might give you. Whether or not it understands some of the shit happening on Tumblr, I don't know. Yeah.
They want people with posters disease.
Yeah, they want to give their LLMs posters disease and make them terminally online, which would be great for these companies. So,
yeah. All right, let's leave that there. If you work at Tumblr or Automattic on either Tumblr or WordPress, hit us up. So my 404 media colleagues probably remember when I got doxxed, which was a nightmare for everyone involved, mostly me. My name, address, phone number, social security number, and a bunch of other information was leaked online, which led to all these spam calls, harassment, threats, etc. Even if you're not a journalist, a sophisticated network of data brokers is making your personal information available to the highest bidder. I fixed my problem with Delete Me, which is a service that basically looks you up on all these people search websites and data broker websites and formally gets you removed from them. The subscription service removes your personal info from the largest search databases on the web, helping prevent potential ID theft, doxing, and phishing scams. I'm a real Delete Me customer. I've been using it for more than 5 years. Sign up is so easy. You just go to their website and then they send you personalized privacy reports showing you what info they found, where they found it, and how they got it removed. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now with a special discount for our listeners. Today, get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/404media and use promo code 404media at checkout. The only way to get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/404media and enter code 404media at checkout. That's joindeleteme.com/404media, code 404media.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay, we're back. We are going to talk about a story that I published on Tuesday called Police Body Cam Shows Sheriff Hunting for Obscene Books at Library. And this is basically body camera footage that I got from Kootenai County, Idaho, which shows exactly what the headline shows. It's like the sheriff there went to the Hayden Library, which is a public library in Kootenai County, Idaho. And he's like, hey, guys, I am turning on my body camera and I'm going to go in and investigate the books. And he meets up with this woman named Mariana Cochran, who is the co-founder of an organization called Clean Books for Kids. And they basically go to the teen section of the library and start looking for, like, quote unquote, obscene or quote unquote, harmful books. And just by chance, Mariana has like 10 books ready to give him that have little sticky notes on them that sort of go to things that she thinks that teens and children should not be able to see. And I guess the thing that struck me about this is I've been really horrified by the war on libraries that has sort of come out of, I guess, out of the 2020 election. Like, I don't know exactly when this became such a big thing, but I feel like it was the 2022 midterms, like the run up to that. There was the sort of like critical race theory line of attack against schools that was associated with like the New York Times' 1619 project, that was associated with just like teaching slavery, teaching systematic injustice and systematic racism to kids. And this is like, this is what Republicans sort of latched onto as being one of like the potential animating get out the vote tactics for the 2022 midterms. And so what happened was Republicans put like all of these candidates up for school board who were like, your kids are being indoctrinated by our public school system. We're going to run on like a parent's choice platform, more or less. We're like not going to allow liberal communists to teach your kids about systematic injustice and LGBTQ stuff and just like anything sort of culture, progressive culture related, more or less. And this was like a relatively successful electoral strategy, although they didn't do well in the like election broadly speaking, but they were successful in installing a bunch of pretty far right, like school board people all over the country. And as part of this, it's like Republicans are very, very good at organizing on a local level and getting people to run at a local level. There were all of these groups that popped up that started just like challenging school libraries and challenging libraries and saying like these books should either be banned or they shouldn't be available to kids. There was the Don't Say Gay bill in Florida that became the Don't Say Gay law in Florida. And basically, like, I found this to be very, like, the mechanics of this to be really interesting because they were quite successful at just like installing these people all over the country. And they've now been successful in leveraging law enforcement and sort of like using cops to intimidate, harass, chill speech at libraries. And there's this guy named Adam Steinbaugh who works at an organization called FIRE, who's been FOIAing, like filing public records requests all over the country about this sort of thing. And I spoke to Adam and he was like, yeah, like not a journalist. I'm not going to write this stuff up. Go check it out or like feel free to write about it. And so I was going to try to write this very big story about like what is happening. Like cops all over the country are going into libraries sort of at the behest of these like parents' rights groups. And there are like these police investigations, so on and so forth. And I started doing it and I was like, this is too complicated. It's just like, there's too many. It's happening everywhere. It's happening in Massachusetts. It's happening in Utah. It's happening in Idaho. There's a case in Florida. And to try to like explain the mechanics of all of this is just too complicated, because there's a different group in each little county, and there's like dozens of hours of like library board meetings where parents come in and yell at the librarians, and that it's like, it's just too much. So I decided to focus on this case in Idaho, and that was a very long intro for me, but it's basically like there's body camera footage of a cop at a library. It's crazy.
Yeah. I want to hear about the cop himself, because he's a character. Like, he's this particular Sheriff Bob is like, he's made this his thing, right? Like, he goes and, you know, he's like, what's up, YouTube? I'm going to go fuck with the library today. Not, you know, not literally, but that's kind of what he does, right?
Yeah. So I guess what I think happened. There's like a few little like unclear sort of who got what and how this happened. But basically, it seems like Sheriff Bob Norris learned about this book called Identical. And this book is written by a woman named Ellen Hopkins. It's about twin sisters who deal with like sexual abuse from their dad. And it's like Ellen Hopkins, her Twitter bio says, I'm the most banned author in America. It's become like, if this book is in your library, like the woke liberals are trying to brainwash your kid. Like that's the vibe. So Sheriff Bob hears about the fact that this book exists, and he goes to this library. He turns on the body camera. He starts talking to the body camera, and he is like, I'm looking for the book Identical. Like, he says that he saw it on social media, and he's like, I'm going to go find the book Identical because I think that it's child porn. Like, he's basically like, I think it's illegal to give this book to kids under an obscure 1972 Idaho law. So he goes in, and he and Clean Books for Kids women look for Identical, but Identical is not at the library. It was never at the library, but it is available via like a library share program from another library. And they talk about all this on camera, and it's like, wow, this library really goes above and beyond for its patrons. This is crazy that this library seemingly is very good. You can get books delivered to your house, which they make sound like a bad thing. Like all this stuff, all these like great public services.
They talk about Bookmobile, which I had when I was a kid. Did you ever have Bookmobile? I love Bookmobile.
I didn't have it, but they're like, they shuttle the book. Shuttle it to the kids like who order.
They're probably
online.
Like, we should defund this. They're doing it too well.
Like they are like that. And the Bookmobile in this county is not running right now. Like, I looked it up, and it's like out of service, which is like the subtext to all of this. It's like these libraries are struggling. Anyways, he doesn't get Identical. He has to look at like some graphic novels, some manga inspired graphic novels, which most of the footage is him like flipping through graphic novels and like silently and lingering on pages where there's like two androgynous characters kissing and things like this. It's just like, it's weird. It's very weird to watch this footage.
Can we hold on that specific?
Don't rush past that, please.
Just because, I mean, A, it's hilarious. It's just like, it's very good tape, as we say. And B, this is why I think the FOIA is valuable, because allegedly Chef Norris, is it? Sheriff. Sheriff Norris.
Really,
I'm thinking about my story. Yeah. Sheriff Norris is arriving at this library looking for child porn at the library, right? Something that qualifies as child porn, which if was true, I would say would be insane and bad, right? But it's not true. And the thing that he finds and the thing that they talk about and that they admit is not illegal, but what they spend time lingering on and talking about, like, is this okay or is it not, is just a book where there is a character who prefers boys, right? There's like a male character who is in a relationship with other male characters. And that's the thing that he's like really looking at closely, because it's like, this is sus, right? And that's what it's really about, right? It's like they say it's child porn, but what they mean is just anything that is like, I don't know.
It's a comic book called Fence, which is about fencing, like the sword fighting game. not the sword fighting sport. And I haven't read Fence, but Mariana Cochran is like, this is not illegal. Like, she says this on tape. She's like, this is not illegal, but is it necessary? Like, is it necessary that the boy likes other boys? Is that really needed? And they both agree that it's not. And it's like, it's none of their business at all. It's none of their business. It's like, it's crazy. It's none of their business. But anyways, Sheriff Norris goes to a public meeting and he holds up a copy of Identical and he hands it to a woman, an adult woman, and then says, hand this to a child who is standing there. And then he goes, that is a crime. What just happened there is a crime. And he explains how he had just been to this library. And it's like he went to do a stunt at the library. He didn't have the results that he wanted. He got the book from somewhere else. He didn't get it on that trip, but he definitely like implies that he got it on that trip. That book was stolen from the library by someone else, from a different library, and then it was given to him. I talked to the executive director of the library. She was like, this book was taken, and one of them, there were two books. Another one was checked out, but it was way overdue. And this became like a local and then a national story because it was like the sheriff is holding these books hostage. And then the books come back to the library and they have the barcodes like cut out of them, which I didn't get into in my story, but it's a crime. It's a crime to destroy a library book. It's like destruction of property. You probably get a ticket. I'm sure it's a misdemeanor, but it's like it is a crime. We don't know whether the sheriff destroyed them, but it was returned. He returned stolen property destroyed that he like knowingly had in his possession for a long time. And it's just like these people are not on the level. He's like deeply misleading what actually even happened. I found another presentation that Mariana Cochran gave. And of course, like when she's talking to the sheriff, she's like focusing on the quote unquote, like the child porn aspect of this, which it's not child porn. These are like mass market published books that are saying that sexual abuse is bad and that are, you know, good to, I read a lot of stuff when I was a kid and I sort of like learned like, okay, don't let adults, I mean, it's bad. Like if the adult does something bad to you, like tell the police or you tell your parents or whatever. It's like, people need to like inform their children about this sort of thing. And it's like normal. It's normal to have books that are educational in this way. But I saw this presentation that she gave and she's like labeling all these books and it's like demonology, witchcraft. She talks about how they are pushing books that are like white shaming and stuff like this. And so it's like, it's not just child porn. It's like they don't want books about racism. They don't want books about gay people. They don't want books about, any of these sort of hot button cultural identity focused issues to be available to anyone. And they think that they can sort of get this, they think that they can start with school libraries and that they can level up to public libraries. And ultimately, they've made librarians' jobs an absolute nightmare because they're showing up at every single meeting, like the sort of monthly meetings or bi-monthly meetings, and they're yelling at the librarians, and the librarians are like, we just want to provide information to our patrons, and the cops are showing up now. It's just like, it's a big mess, big time mess.
Shaking my damn head.
Yeah.
You can't see us, but we're shaking our heads. I mean, it's something that I feel like I bring up too much, but I just think it's all so tied together that, it's like you guys are saying, like they're saying, is it necessary to show this? And they're like, no, it's not necessary to show like a very normal, interaction between young people and what these people who are pushing for these types of book bans want is for teachers, for books, for all these things that are happening in like the public realm regarding sexuality and gender expression and things like that to be completely in the home and completely like nowhere near parent or nowhere near teachers or schools or libraries. So no sex education, nothing like that. And at the same time, they're not picking up that responsibility at home. Like no one's actually teaching kids anything at home who are, you know, lobbying for these. I can say this because I grew up in that kind of environment. It's like, you're not getting it at school. You're not getting it at home. And also we're seeing this happen with porn where it's all being labeled obscene. So like anything gay is obscene. Porn is obscene. Anything that is outside of like heteronormative relationships is explicit and obscene. And that's just such a dangerous line to walk. And I think it's very intentional on these lobbyists' part that they are siphoning off, you know, any access to good education outside of these very Christian, white, you know, heteronormative environments. So yeah, it's scary. I don't know. It's probably like the number one most scary thing that I can see coming in the next 5, 10, 20 years.
Yeah, and I don't feel equipped to like rattle off a bunch of statistics, but I just don't think that it can be that parents are the only people who teach their children about this sort of thing. It's like there needs to be like a qualified, it's like this is stuff that needs to be taught in schools in a, you know, age appropriate and empathetic way, in part because not every child has loving parents and not every child has parents that, you know, one, are going to teach them this sort of thing. But two, it's like a lot of child sexual abuse happens from a family member. It's like, I don't have the statistics in front of me, but it's like, this assumes a world where every parent is an angel and every teacher is like a nightmare pedophile. Like this is sort of what is the world that is being pitched to us. And it's like, it's not that cut and dry. It's like a very complicated, messy subject that, you know, I'm not an expert on, but I know that that's the case.
You're also not parents. The only one here who's a parent is Emmanuel. So
yeah,
he's the one in for it.
He's allowed to read all the manga he wants.
Wow. We have that on tape.
Yeah. If he needs to find out it's bad on his own.
Godspeed to him.
Okay. I guess we'll leave it there for the free section. If you want to hear us talk about Grubhub and what's the other one? DoorDash. I always Seamless, Grubhub, Uber Eats. There's so many. If you want to hear us talk about DoorDash and Grubhub advertising AI-generated food, you can subscribe to us at 404media.co and you will get the subscribers bonus section. If you are not subscribing to us, then well, leave us a good review, tell your friends about us. Joseph will be back next week, but thank you for listening to the 404 Media Podcast. I am going to play us out. Media is a production of 404 Media Incorporated. It is produced and recorded by me, Jason Kebler. This episode, at least, is in my garage.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.